And now,
you are listening live.
Handoff, Kennedy McCoy cuts it back inside. He's at five, heading to the end zone. He's in, touchdown! Drops, throws, has a man. Ball caught, Jennings. Gary Jennings breaks the tackle. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Gary Jennings! And it is a great night to be a Mountaineer, wherever you may be.
Bye, Goddard. Welcome to another episode of the Smoking Musket Podcast, recording from outside the heart of college football. I am Bart Keeler. And joining me tonight is no one. I'm recording alone tonight. Sorry that you have to deal with me twice this week all by myself. I apologize. Failed to get anyone from Baylor on. That's my bad. Thought I was going to have Mike join me this evening, and he unfortunately had to work again. Tried to ask some other people from the Musket, and they're all busy. And so you get stuck with me for the second time this week. But I'll be here previewing the WVU-Baylor game on Saturday all on my own, but hopefully giving you some storylines and tidbits to maybe look at that might not be on, you know, the top page of ESPN or, you know, what WVU football is putting out. So hopefully I'm going to give you a little bit of insight and tidbits that you can look for in the game, and hopefully that this is something that we don't have to stress too much over. I think that's the goal for all Mountaineer fans, a game that we don't have to stress over. You can find the Smoking Musket podcast on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Just search for the Smoking Musket podcast. We are on all those platforms. Again, that is iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Via Blog Talk Radio, you can listen on blogtalkradio.com/Smoking Musket. We do a live show every Monday following each game that we play. It's on at 8 o'clock, and this upcoming Monday you can call in, talk with me as I break down what happened on the Saturday prior, and we would love to have your opinions. Also on that live show, we're going to try or keep trying this. You know, we haven't had a whole lot of fans call in, so by Godders, if you're out there, you can call in. The number is 917-932-1765 to call in for the live show. However, on Saturday, if you want to still be a part of all this, you can call our voicemail hotline before, during, after the game and leave a message, and we will play that on the live show Monday. So the voicemail number for Saturday is 304-933-9880. Again, that is 304-933-9880 for the podcast voicemail hotline. You can call the Smoking Musket, and we will use your sound on the live show on Monday. But most importantly to all of this, visit www.smokingmusket.com for daily news, notes, and opinions on WVU sports. Again, I'm Bart Keeler, recording here, ready to give you some information about the WVU Baylor game on Saturday. That game is an 8 o'clock kick. It is currently scheduled for Fox Sports 2. However, if the Yankees defeat the Astros tomorrow, which part of me hopes doesn't, but a small part of me does hope that happens, because if the Yankees beat the Astros on Friday, the Mountaineers and Bears will play on Fox Sports 1, which is just, you know, a better channel. It's like playing on ESPN versus ESPN2. We know how they prioritize these things. So we would like that. However, I do not want the Yankees to win. Call me a Homer Braves fan. I don't care. Do not like the Yankees. So there is that. But just keep that when you make your DVR setting, make sure you're aware. Don't set it Friday night, because we might not know. Set it Saturday morning, your DVR or whatever, your auto-tune, whatever you're using to either watch or record the game. Make sure you check your station listing before you do that. Again, this is the Smoking Musket podcast here on blogtalkradio.com/Smoking Musket. This is our WVU Baylor preview. And before we get into that, I'm going to give you some WVU sports headlines, as I like to do every day or every podcast. So first, let's do that, and then we'll get into really looking at this game. The 2017-2018 Men's Big 12 Basketball Media Poll was released on Thursday, and WVU is in a familiar spot, ranked number 2 going into the season. The Mountaineers were ranked number 2 last year. We are obviously behind the behemoth that is Kansas. The Mountaineers did receive one first place vote, while KU received 9. Some other preseason news for WVU women's basketball. Junior guard Tynese Martin, you may remember her from her outstanding run in the Big 12 championship tournament last year that the Mountaineers won, and just really an outstanding guard in general. She was injured over the summer training with the youth national team, which is really kind of, it's a soccer term, but for basketball, they have a World Cup and all that for basketball. And she was training for the under 23 women's national basketball team. And she got an ankle injury, but she is back. And she has been named a preseason All Big 12 team member. So congratulations, Tynese. I am very much looking forward to her playing this junior year. And hopefully the Mountaineers have a better regular season than last year. It was a little up and down at times. Redeem themselves with a great Big 12 championship run. Hopefully the WVU Mountaineer women's basketball team can give us some more excitement during the season. After upsetting number 5, Michigan State and Morgantown last Wednesday, the WVU men's soccer team jumped to number 15 in the national rankings, a huge jump. Now the Mountaineers are 7-3-4 and will host number 8, Western Michigan, on Friday at 7 p.m. If you are in Morgantown, go to this game. It will be great college soccer. The Mountaineers are looking pretty good this season. A lot of goal-scoring potential from this team. Jad Arslan is on a tear. So go watch this game if you're in Morgantown on Friday at 7. The WVU Mountaineers ranked number 15, hosting the number 8 Western Michigan Broncos. On Thursday, the number 8 WVU women's soccer team unfortunately drew with Texas Tech 1-1 at Dick Lusk Soccer Stadium. Nikki Izzo Brown's crew will take on TCU at home on Sunday at 1 p.m. On Wednesday, the WVU volleyball team fell to Iowa State in Ames 1-3. And now the Mountaineers will look to rebound at home on Saturday against Kansas State. The match will start at 1 p.m. in the WVU Coliseum. And finally, Saturday, October 21st, is Mountaineer Nation Day. I don't usually get into all these gimmicks. I kind of like to keep you updated when True Blue and all that kind of stuff is. But October 21st is the Mountaineer Nation Day, where WVU fans are encouraged to wear the old gold and blue wherever you are to show the wide-reaching family that is the Mountaineer fan base. So I know it won't take much for you all to wear your flying WV or your old gold and blue on game day, but you know, even if you're not a huge, even if you have friends or family who are from West Virginia or West Virginia graduates and may not like football, just encourage them to wear that, you know, show some support and pride in our football team, our athletic department, and our university as a whole. So there are your WVU sports headlines. I'm sure there are more than I missed. I apologize. I try to get as many relevant ones as possible, but with kind of, we're in this weird in-between season where we're getting news about football or about basketball now. And as October comes to an end and November starts, we will be diving into the Mountaineer basketball season, both men's and women's, because John Brooke, who I think will be joining me during the basketball season to talk about the WVU basketball teams, he very much enjoys watching the women's team as well. And I know we have stat boy Andy from thesmokingmusket.com who also enjoys WVU women's basketball. We will talk about them as well, but obviously we'll be focused on the men's basketball team and Javon Carter and Coach Huggins and all that. It's an exciting time. They kick off their season with their annual gold blue scrimmage on next Friday. So that is the 27th, 28th, one of those two, 7 o'clock tip. I think the gates open at 6. You can get in and see the team play. It'll be a fun time to go in and see what the Mountaineers have in store for this 2017-2018 basketball season. Well, let's transition now and let's talk about WVU football. We broke it down on Monday. If you didn't listen, you can go back and listen to that on your iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or TuneIn Radio, or you can listen again on blogtalkradio.com. But in our live show Monday, we talked about West Virginia was able to get past Texas Tech, and I was very focused on pointing out that it was not a great performance by the team. We had three not great quarters. We had a very, very good fourth quarter in which we gave up no points, and we scored 22. However, that was not the story for the entire game. And it's kind of been that way for a lot of the season. You know, the offense has gone through quarters or spells where we haven't scored a lot. You know, we've had quarters where we have scored a lot. I look at that Kansas game. We scored 0 points in the third quarter, but then turned around and got, I think it was 21. Yeah, 21 in the fourth quarter. You know, we had the fourth quarter. I know this isn't like for real, but we had that fourth quarter against East Carolina where we didn't score anything. And I know the subs were in, but this offense had a tendency to kind of drift in and out of the game. And I know that Baylor is 0-6, but you can't have that this game. So as much as I kind of talked us all off of the high that we were on Monday, I'm going to kind of prepare you and talk to you about the concerns I have for this upcoming game against Baylor. I know you probably are very confident that the WVU Mountaineer football team can go in and beat a lowly, hapless Baylor Bears football team. But just be cautious with your optimism because Baylor is playing at home. They have nothing to lose, right? Flash, they have everything to gain. They're 0-6 at the midpoint of this season. They could win 6 in a row and make a bowl game. It's possible. It is possible. They have played arguably the two of the three hardest teams in the conference. They obviously will play Texas Christian University later on this season in their rivalry game, their revivalry, if you will. But if you're a Baylor football player, you have to go, look, we still have everything to play for, and that is a bowl game right now. It may not be a conference championship. We may not be going to Arlington, on December 2nd, but damn it, we can make a bowl game. And if you're Baylor, if you can get to that 6-6 mark, then that's fine. You know, you have a chance to really work on your offense, work on your defense, get to come together as a team. And you know Matt Rhule and his coaching staff really want to get, you know, just get this team in a good place mentally. So we're going to talk about some of that. Let me get my stats and notes set up. Yeah, here we go. Sorry about that. I had to get my Baylor stats in front of me. I know that's a weird thing to say, but I do want to make sure I'm giving you all the stats that are necessary to understand the opponent coming up. So let's talk about this game. The Mountaineers are back in the top 25. We're 2-1 in Big 12 play, right? We're 4-2 overall. And after that thrilling comeback win over Texas Tech last week in Morgantown, we now travel to Waco for a game against 0-6 Baylor. It's a night game, though, at McLean Stadium. That place is new, but it's got a lot of rich atmosphere to it, right? And I don't mean the people in the stands. I mean there's something there. It has a little bit of a weird. It feels tighter. It feels specialer. You know, it's a little bit enclosed. The roof overhead kind of keeps that sound in. It's on the banks of the Brazos River. It's got all these things going for it. And Waco historically, well, in the past 5 to 7 years, it's been a tough place to play, especially for this West Virginia Mountaineer football team. We have not had a great time of it down in Waco recently. And I don't know what – I'm a little concerned that this trend could continue. That's all. I'm just concerned. You're a Mountaineer fan if you're listening to this podcast. Aren't you a little concerned? Aren't you a little scared? So we're going to talk about these things that concern me. First off, this is a crucial game. Like I just said, we're 4-2, 2-1 in the Big 12. We conceivably have a Big 12 championship appearance to play for. If we win out, there's no reason why we're not in the Big 12 championship game, right? At least have a shot at it. We would have one loss. You know, Oklahoma at that point would have at least one loss. Excuse me, at least two losses as well. Who knows where Oklahoma State and TCU will end up in the win-loss column when it comes to the end of the season. So we have a lot to play for going into this game. More importantly, and Mike and I have talked about this, I've chatted about this with Smitty and John as well, a lot of the numbers are putting up right at six wins, right? You look at Bill C. From footballstudyhall.com, and his statistical profile for West Virginia consistently puts us around 6 to 7 wins as a ceiling for this team. Now, I don't disagree that 7 wins is probably the most likely result or outcome from this season. But you get a win in Waco on Saturday, and you're sitting at 5-2, and you've got 5 more games to get to 8 wins. Now, 8 wins, you know, maybe doesn't get you a whole lot, but what that does is possibly get you not in the Liberty Bowl or in the Heart of Dallas Bowl or Cactus Bowl, right? We would like to maintain our status as going to decent bowl games. I would like to go to the Texas Bowl or the Camping World Bowl again. That would just be kind of validation that we're a pretty solid football program. And you know Dana Holgorsen needs that in his first year after the contract extension. We haven't talked about his job security at all this year. We don't need to. Look, he just got an extension for many years to come. He is our football coach through 2022, I think, right now. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I don't do math well. I continue to hang my hat on that. I think he got 5 years, so that's 2022. Yes. Okay. So, basically, Dana is good. But you have to start off on a good note. And if you can make a decent bowl game, play after Christmas, you can take the steps to becoming a solidified football program, a solid program, in my opinion. You can't be a solid program with only 7 wins a season. And that was kind of what Dana was averaging for a time there. You don't want to go from 10 to 7, right? Because then that makes that 10-3 season look like a real fluke. And you just don't want that. And I'm not saying it was or wasn't a fluke. I will say that everything went right for us that season. Teams were not as good as they are expected to be. We were very consistently doing well at what we were doing well. You know, we didn't do anything spectacularly, but we didn't do anything poorly, except for one game, 2 games maybe. But the point is, if you're Dana Holgorsen, you don't want to start trending downward right now. And yeah, look, 10 wins is going to be hard to get. I'm just going to be real straight up honest with you. When we have Oklahoma State and Oklahoma on the schedule, it's going to be tough. But if you get a win at Baylor, you're then looking at 5 games to get 3 wins, get you to 8-4. Possibly, you know, depending on how some games go for us, I like our shot in just about every conference game we play. You're looking at possibly going 10-2, maybe 9-3. You know, I don't know. This is the other thing. Who knows if we get, from a bowl game perspective, who knows if we get a team in the college football playoff? I would assume that an undefeated or a one-loss Oklahoma or an undefeated or one-loss TCU, who are conference champions, should be in the college football playoff. But, you know, that's not a guarantee, especially if you have Georgia, who could run the table. I hope they don't. Meeting up with Alabama, who could also run the table, and how are you going to keep a one-loss SEC champion out of it? How are you going to keep a possibly one-loss, a one-loss SEC runner-up or a one-loss Big Ten runner-up out of the college football playoff? These are concerns that I have, but I would imagine that if our conference champion has at least has no more than one loss, we will be in the – so you're moving up a pecking order. Again, I'm not saying that we're going to go and we're not going 10-2. That's just not something I can see happening. But I do think we have a shot to win every single game that we have coming up. We also could lose every game. And it starts with this game, this Baylor game. But I have three main concerns with this game. So just stay with me here. I got three main concerns, and then we'll get to my three reasons why I think we will win this game. But three concerns as to why I think we could lose this game. So firstly, we've been up and down on the road all season. Now, you can call that Virginia Tech game a neutral site game, but for all intents and purposes, it was a road game, and it was still away from Morgantown. So when we haven't played in the friendly confines of Milan Puskar Stadium at Mountaineer Field, our offense hasn't been great, specifically looking at the Virginia Tech and TCU games. And we'll even look a little bit at that Kansas game. Now, obviously, TCU and Virginia Tech are flat-out better defenses than anything we've seen all season. We have two losses. Both of those were 31-24 losses. But we only got 24 points. And I know I know those defenses are good, but shouldn't our offense be doing better than just 21 or 24 points against them? We didn't really put the pressure on their offense to score or put the pressure on their defense. We kind of let their defense dictate the way they wanted to play against us. They got after our quarterback pretty well. And granted, Will Greer has done a good job of handling pressure all season. He's done a good job of evading pressure. But they also put a lot of pressure on our wide receivers. And what happened when our receivers were put under a little pressure? They dropped the ball. And that's something that we really need to avoid in this game, especially in the first and second quarter. It is imperative to get off to a fast start against Baylor, in my opinion. Baylor has had this kind of sneaky habit of hanging around. So we can't have an up-and-down game on the road. You look at Kansas, a game that we, from the spread, decidedly won, right? We got a 22-point victory. That's fine. On the road in the Big 12, sure, Kansas isn't great, but they're a talented, you know, college football Power 5 team. Oof. We scored 0 points in that third quarter. You can't have that lull against a Baylor team who still has a lot of talent. They still have a lot of talent. And if you don't believe me, look at their recruiting, and they were recruiting very well up until 2 years ago when this, you know, the rape and sex abuse scandal came down. But they were still recruiting very well. And a lot of those recruits that were being brought in last season that Art Briles recruited still came to Baylor. They were still three, four, five-star players. Baylor was recruiting at an incredibly high level. You can't be up and down against these teams because they have the talent to possibly pull it off. And if you let them hold on and hang around and if you're not taking care of your business, it leaves them an opportunity. So that's my first point of concern. We cannot be up and down like we have been on the road, specifically our offense. As much as I liked the 21-point fourth quarter in Kansas, and as much as I like that 22-point quarter, fourth quarter against, I would rather see, you know, 14 to 17 points every quarter against Baylor. Let's just have a little bit of consistency from the offensive standpoint. Secondly, though we have seen improvement on defense, I'm still not sure that this D can shut an offense down. We struggled, for real struggled, to find an answer to Texas Tech's offense, right? We did a lot better in stopping the run against TCU, but Kansas, Virginia Tech, even like Delaware State, East Carolina, and Texas Tech ran the ball incredibly well against us. Now, Baylor has not run the ball exceptionally well all season. They have 811 yards on the total on the season. So that's six games. They're averaging, you know, about $1.20 per game, which is fine. But it seems like our defense has been the cure for a bad running game, doesn't it? It seems like our defense has not been able to plug up gaps and keep a sure clinch or a vice grip on an opposing offense. From a passing perspective, we've done all right. And Texas Tech threw the ball a lot, but we handled it for a couple of big plays, right? They had a couple of big plays, but for the most part, we did a good job. We caught a lot of balls. They're going to do that, but we were able, for the most part, to keep them in front of us and kind of limit their big plays. But on the run game, we gave up two touchdowns of more than 25 yards. Again, Baylor has talent. If our defense wants to show that they're a good defense, because I'm not sure they're a good defense. They're okay. They're serviceable. They're not good. They haven't shown me that this year. You've got to shut down Baylor, and it starts up front in the run game. John Lovett, Terrence Williams, averaging, you know, John Lovett's averaging 5 yards a carry, Terrence 4.5, okay? They've only scored 5 rushing touchdowns through 6 games. In fact, they haven't scored a whole lot of points this year anyway, but regardless, they have the ability to break off long runs. Lovett has a 74-yard touchdown run, okay? You know, they have guys who have run for big chunks. And they have 3, maybe 4 guys who will get the ball. I mean, you're looking right now, John Lovett, Terrence Williams, who was there last year, Anu Solomon, another returner, who have experience running against this WVU defense and playing Big 12 football. So defensively, I'm more concerned than anything, just because Baylor scored a lot of points against Oklahoma. And I know I would like to think that our team, our defense is better than Oklahoma's, but statistically, from a total defense perspective, Oklahoma's better than us. Okay. They're in the top 50 total defense in the country, according to NCAA. They are 49, right? West Virginia is, we're in the hundreds, I believe. Yeah, West Virginia, like I said, Oklahoma's 49, West Virginia's 110 in total defense. So, no, this defense hasn't shown that they're good at all this year. They have shown that they're okay at times, but they've got to show up, and specifically when it comes to stopping the run, because if Baylor can establish a run game, then that takes our offense out of the mix, and it gives their offense a lot more of a playbook to use. So our defense needs to show real improvement against this team. They've got some athletes. We should have some athletes on defense too. We've got to get better. So that was my second point. So first, concerned about our up and down offense. Second, concerned about our not improving on the path that it should defense, right? It's not really looking like it's been a good defense. So that's my first 2 points. My last point that I want to make, my third point of concern, it's just simple history. Baylor's been a tough out for us every single time we played them, right? Last year was a tough out. We'll talk about that in a bit. The year before that, they beat us to death there. They absolutely manhandled us down in Waco. What was it, 60-30-something? That was bad. Year before that, we got them at home. Tough game. That was a fun game, right? We came out very well. But, you know, we've had back and forth games with them every single time, and we've been lucky to be on the winning end of the games at our house, and they've been lucky enough to be on the winning end of the games at their house, and this one's at their place, you know? So it's almost like it's their turn. They're at home. They should win. That would be the consensus. The general opinion heading into what these teams have played before then. But look, last year is somewhat of a, not a carbon copy of this year, but it is very similar to what we're going to look at this year, right? You've got a West Virginia team coming in pretty hot. Last year we were 9-2, obviously looking for our 10th win on the season. It was the last day of the regular season in November, a cold night in Morgantown, not as cold as the weekend before against Oklahoma, but still a cold night in Morgantown. West Virginia 9-2, Baylor on a 5-game losing skid, finally unraveling after the Art Wild stuff. You know, it was like, well, Al Grove couldn't keep it together for that long, and they finally were, you know, at that point they were 6-5. They knew they were going to bowl game, but 5 in a row. Why couldn't we make it 6 in a row? And what happened last year? Well, we didn't win by a whole lot. 24-21 was the final. And I mean, I'm not saying that, again, this is not me saying Baylor is going to beat us. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that Baylor has a tendency to give us problems. Last year, this game was supposed to be a comfortable win, and it was not. A depleted and a hapless Baylor team found a way to come into Morgantown and make it incredibly frustrating. That first half was really bad. Baylor took a 14-10 lead into halftime. Skyler had no rhythm. Offense was out of sync. Defense was playing all right. Defense was fine. Offense, though, not good at all. Skyler had a terrible game. That was bad. Luckily, the offense picked up a little. We got 2 touchdowns in the second half, 1 in each quarter. But we still didn't finish the job well. In fact, our defense kind of let up a little bit. We let them get a touchdown with 6.5 minutes to go. And then our offense has to punt the ball away. And as a Mountaineer fan, you're going, oh, shit. So at that point, it's a 3-point lead. Baylor's getting the ball back. Baylor, a competent offense, right? Like, we know Baylor's a good offense. They had offensive talent. Now, granted, at that point, Zach Smith, their quarterback, and he's still their quarterback. I'm not quite sure how much you trust or rely on him. But, you know, Baylor's got talent on offense, and they still do. They had it then. They have it now. Luckily, our defense forces the fumble. We win the game, but it was so incredibly hard. I mean, holy hell, that game was way too close. So that 24-21 win last year kind of shows me that, you know, I think in our mental state could be very similar. Last year we were 9-2 going up against a team that wasn't very good. Why not get that 10th? Why don't we get that 10th win? Of course we'll get the 10th win, and we'll go and, you know, party all night, and Dana will get a contract extension, and we're going bowling. It's going to be a great bowl game. Look, this year we're 4-2, 2-1. We got a big game against Oklahoma State next year. I'm not saying this is a trap game, because I don't necessarily believe in saying that all the time, but if you're going to pick a trap game, it could be this one. Very well could be. Baylor's 0-6. Oklahoma State's clearly the team that you got to worry about, because they are by far a better team and a team that you need to beat to establish your presence in this conference. But if you lose to Baylor and then beat Oklahoma State, it's all for naught. You have to take care of this job this week. A little concerning when we've seen this team up and down, struggle against the run, and quite frankly, just not take care of business the way we should sometimes. I'm a little concerned. I'll be honest with you. So those are my concerns for this WVU Baylor game. Down in Waco, McLean Stadium, it could just be weird, right? We've lost every game. We've played there since coming to the conference. That's tough. So those are my 3 concerns. I'm going to take a break, if you will. This is the Smoking Musket podcast. I am Bart Keeler, recording here solo, winging it all by myself tonight. But when I come back after the song, we're going to talk about why I'm very confident we'll win this game. And then after that, we'll talk about the Big 12 slate. I'll kind of run down some picks that I'll make there, and we'll be out of here. So again, this is the Smoking Musket podcast. I appreciate you listening. I'll be back after this.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder,
thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder,
thunder,
thunder, hear the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, hear the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, thunder.
thunder. Kids were laughing in my classes while I was scheming for the masses. Who do you think you are? Dreaming about being a big star.
Alrighty, my Godders, welcome back to this Smoking Musket podcast. I am Bart Keeler, recording here on my own tonight, but nonetheless, I'm here to talk with you about this upcoming WVU Baylor game. We just talked about my concerns for this game. An up and down offense, a defense that is low key not great. And just the track record of playing Baylor, it's always tough and it always seems to be a battle. Especially last year was not great. And I feel like we might see a replay of that this game. But enough doom and gloom. I will give you that I am very confident that WVU will win this game. I do think it will be fewer than 11 points. I think it might be double digits. But I think it'll be tough for us to cover the spread against this team. By the way, the spread is 9.5. So far, that's what ESPN has said, and then we opened up around 9 points anyway. So a 9.5 point spread, meaning that basically we have to get to that 10 point margin for you to win that money. But that could change by Saturday. Let's talk about why West Virginia should win this football game on Saturday. Again, this is the WVU Baylor game happening at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. In Waco, Texas, in McLean Stadium. You can watch it on Fox Sports 2, but it could be on Fox Sports 1, depending on how the Yankees-Astros playoff game goes on Friday. If the Yankees win on Friday, then they will not have a Game 7, and they won't need to have Fox Sports 1 play MLB playoffs on Saturday. But if the Astros win, they will be hosting Game 7 there in Houston, and they will be playing at the time slot that West Virginia Baylor is playing. That also means that there are fewer people in the stadium. I don't know how that works. I'm not quite sure how much of a transfer there is between the Houston Astros fans and Baylor football fans. I don't know. Interesting. Anyway, that's kind of the setup for the game again. Let's take you as we get through the Smoking Musket podcast for this week. I want to give you my three reasons why I think West Virginia will handle Baylor solidly on Saturday. Reason number one, Baylor is allowing a lot of points. 40.8 points per game, to be exact. And while we have struggled to find rhythm early in games, we have scored 64 points in the fourth quarters this season. That's pretty good. Baylor has a tendency to hang around for a quarter or two, maybe even three, you ask Oklahoma. But they give up a lot of points, and they seem to give up a lot of points, especially in the second half. And if we can come out of the locker room in the second half ready to score, Baylor will be right for the picking. That said, I would love to see a fast start by the offense on Saturday in the first and second quarter, because I think if you can get Baylor down by 20 points, I don't think they're going to be able to come back from that. Right? I just don't think it's going to happen. This game sets up for Will Grier to go off, right? Baylor is the 125th total defense in the country. They average 7 yards a play. Granted, we're not much better. I said we're 110, but they average 7 yards a play. They have given up 27 touchdowns this season. And about, 517 yards per game on offense. This could be a decent get-healthy game for the Mountaineers in terms of an offense that has struggled a little bit this season to play for an entire 60 minutes. So maybe this is one of those games where we can do it. Baylor has stuck around, but they tend to lose control, not necessarily of themselves, of the game, but of themselves. And as long as West Virginia does its job and continues to put points up on the board, and that's, again, I think a fast start on Saturday is important. You get a touchdown here in the first quarter. You cannot punt your opening drive against Baylor. You can't do it. You have to get points your opening drive against the Bears, put pressure on Zach Smith and that offense, and make them have to keep up with you, because they cannot. They cannot keep up with you. They give up 48.8 points a game. They only score about 25. 15-point difference. They cannot. They have shown they cannot keep up, but they can make it complicated. So I think our offense, I think we will have an offense that looked more like what happened against Kansas than it did what happened against TCU or Virginia Tech. That's what I believe. So that's reason number one. I think Baylor is allowing a lot of points, and we'd like to score points. So I think that's a favor to us. I think we can score in the 40s this game. I really do. I think we can score 40 this game. Reason number two why I am very confident West Virginia will win this game. Zach Smith has not been the Baylor quarterback that we are used to seeing. Yes, he played last year in that game. But he only scored 21 points, okay? Look, yeah, that was a lot of points to score against our defense last year, but that was a lot of help from our offense. So, if our offense is rolling and Zach Smith is not able to actually to get a lot of possessions, or maybe he does get a lot of possessions, but still, he's not able to keep up with the scoring because he's only tossed 8 touchdowns, okay? They've played 6 games. They've scored 8 passing touchdowns and 5 rushing touchdowns, okay? That's, what, 13 touchdowns in 8 games? David Sills has 13 touchdowns, or has 12 touchdowns in the entire season. By golly, we better put it to them. And this is a quarterback that our defense can get after and get in his head. I don't mean necessarily from a defensive line standpoint, but our defensive backs need to pick off at least 2 balls this game. We need to have 2 interceptions. I would love to see a strip sack fumble recovery as well, but we need to have 2 interceptions after this game. If our defense gets 2 interceptions, we will roll over Baylor in Waco. And we will be very happy Mountaineer fans on Saturday night. Some more, I mean, look, their offense just isn't moving the same speed. I said they only have 811 total rushing yards. That's, you know, that's decent. If we can keep their rushing game contained to under 200, then we'll be fine. Because Zach Smith, on his own, only 1,160 yards. His completion percentage is at 52.4. He's only attempted 158 passes this year, to be quite honest. It's not a lot. But that 8-to-6 ratio, not great. 7 yards an attempt is fine, but that shows also that they're not really making big plays downfield in the receiving game. They've had a couple of long touchdowns and long plays, but really not a whole lot. Denzel Mims is the guy to look for. He's got 7 touchdown passes. And Chris Platt, the other one, those are the 2 receivers that are most likely to stretch the field for Baylor. They average more than 20 yards a catch, and they've both had really long touchdown catches this season. And Mims has 27 total catches. So he's the guy that is being targeted a lot by Smith. You've got Pooh Strickland and Tony Nicholson as well in that mix. No touchdowns for those guys, but they do have 22 and 25 catches respectively. So a receiving core that seems to be pretty – look, they've got 4 guys with more than 10 catches. That's fine. Our receiving core isn't that deep, but they might be only 3 deep, let alone maybe 4. So Zach Smith doesn't have a whole lot of tools to work with. Most of that is on him. But if you can keep him – scrambling, if you can keep him unsure and unsteady, then this should be a game that our defense should look real good. I would like to say that we can hold them under 30 points. I don't think we will, just because I do think Baylor has some quality on their side. But, you know, I think we can hold them to at least under 35. I think we should cover the spread. I think we should get 10 points, a 10-point victory. So that's my reason number two, that I definitely think that we should beat Baylor. And it just comes down to the fact that Zach Smith isn't as great as they're used to having. That's just how it works, right? Reason number three, and this is what made me the most upset last week. Get over 100 yards last week. He rushed for like 50. That's not good. And he knows it. Now, granted, that a lot has to do with the fact that Texas Tech made an effort to stop our run game, and they did a good job of it. That's fine. I mean, we also didn't run the ball well. There's a lot of reasons for that. But Justin Crawford should have a nice day going on in Waco on Saturday. He should have a pretty decent day. I want him to be over 300 yards, or excuse me, over 100 yards this game. He needs to get back on track for that 1,000-yard season, possibly 1,200-yard season. Baylor averages more than 5 yards a carry, which is about what Crawford's average is. They have given up 15 touchdowns on the ground and average 241 yards against on the ground. So this is a game that I think we should have Crawford and then McCoy and Petway combine for more than 200 yards, right? All three of those guys better be over 200. If not, then we will struggle. But I think that we will. I think Jake Spavital and Dana Holgorsen will talk with Jake Spavital about running the ball better and being more committed to the run and being a little more creative with the run play. I'll give Crawford and Spav a little bit of credit. They got Crawford out of the pocket and gave him some passes that hopefully make him, you know, allow him to get loose in the open field that way. So I think that's my biggest reason. I think this offense should roll. And I think that most importantly, Justin Crawford should be over 100 yards, maybe a buck 50. I mean, he might have his best, game all season, to be quite honest. I could totally see that. Let me look that up. I'm now curious what his best output was. He said 94 carries all year with a total of 609 yards through six games. So he's on pace to break 1,200 yards. Definitely on pace to break his total from last year. His average is down, but whatever. Already with seven touchdown carries on the season. Now, his best outing this season has been 125 yards against Kansas. So, Justin Crawford, I know you don't listen to this podcast, but if you do, that would be awesome. I am issuing a challenge to you, sir. I want you to get more than 130 yards rushing this game. Make this game your best rushing game of the season. If you do that, West Virginia should get more than 40 points and could win by more than 10 points. Because at that point, I don't think Baylor will be able to really do much offensively. So those are my three reasons. First, Baylor's allowing a lot of points, and we like to score a lot of points. Secondly, Zach Smith is not a great quarterback. And our defensive secondary should be able to confuse him and keep him off balance. And third reason is just that Justin Crawford should, I will almost say will, have a very good day in Waco. And if all those three things happen, then I think we could roll away with it. But I still think this will be a 10-point game. I think West Virginia will win like 41-31 or 42-31, something like that. And I think this will be a little uncomfortable for a bit, but Baylor, you know, they have a knack for sticking around. We're only a 10-point favorite, but I do think that this is one of those games that we should win. It might not look as comfortable, but a 10-point win in Waco against a team that's still got a lot of talent would be quite fine with me. I'd be okay with that. So there you go. I think it'll be 41-31. West Virginia should win. Should make it fairly easy. I think we might be up by a lot, honestly, in the fourth quarter, and Baylor will probably get a touchdown in garbage time. That might be what happens because West Virginia will probably, you know, go a little more on the conservative side then. But I'm concerned because I think if we start off well, then we'll be fine. And that's the recipe. Start off strong and finish. There you go. That's the same thing you have to do for every game, but it's imperative this game because you don't want a bad team hanging around. And if West Virginia's 5-2, then look, you've got an Oklahoma State team coming into town who is beatable. They are beatable. We've seen them lose already this year, but that'll be very tough. We have an Oklahoma team that we have to go to, or we have an Iowa State team and a Texas team coming to town that, quite honestly, I think we can beat both of them. There's no reason why we can't get another 3 wins, maybe 4 this season. No reason. I think we will get one of those on Saturday as we beat Baylor. So that's my breakdown of this WVU-Baylor game. Again, this is the Smoking Musket Podcast. I'm Bart Keeler talking to you. Sorry that you have to just hear me all alone, but you know, I'm trying to make an hour or so out of it. Before I get out of here, let's break down this Big 12 slate for Saturday. A lot of games. I think every team is in action again this weekend in the Big 12, so a lot of things could move up and down. It's a logjam there between 3rd and 7th. A lot of teams at 2-1 in the conference, so a lot of separation will occur after this weekend. The noon kicks. Oklahoma State goes to Darrell K. Royal Memorial Stadium in Austin, Texas to take on the Longhorns. The Cowboys are a 7-point favorite, and I think they cover that and then some, to be quite honest. I think Texas has got a decent defense. They've got a decent offense, or excuse me, a defensive line. Their offense hasn't shown the ability to score a lot of points. And what does Oklahoma State do? Even in their loss to TCU, they scored 30-some points. So there you go. Iowa State at Texas Tech. Texas Tech finding themselves a 7-point favorite, and I think this is going to be the game to watch. Noon kick for the noon kick. Yeah, for this game. Ah, man, this game deserves better. Tech, a 7-point favorite, maybe. Oh man, this game will be on Fox Sports. I've gone back and forth. I think Tech should win because it's at home. But, I mean, they've shown a better ability to score more points consistently throughout the season. But Iowa State is a plucky little team. They've got a decent defense. Not scoring at the rate the Tech is, but they've got a better defense than Tech from the numbers standpoint. I think Tech at home, I don't know if they cover, but I think Tech at home gets the win. Maybe they don't have to kick any field goals. There's your secret there, Texas Tech. 4 o'clock kick, Oklahoma at Kansas State. Boy, I don't know what to make of Kansas State this year. Oklahoma is a 14.5-point favorite. I don't think Kansas State can score to get within 14.5 points. They haven't shown that they're a great defense this year, and they certainly have shown that their offense struggles. I think Oklahoma can cover this 14.5 points, to be quite honest. Final game of the Big 12 slate, Kansas at TCU. TCU, a 38.5-point favorite in Fort Worth. I don't think it's going to be that bad. I think this is a little bit of an overreaction to that loss against Iowa State. I don't think TCU can cover 38.5, but it might be 35 or 34 points. It might be 38 points. There's no reason why they can't beat the living daylights out of Kansas. I just don't think they're going to get to 38.5 points over them. Points to score, and TCU has not scored a heck of a lot of points this season. So that's the Big 12 rundown. Again, every team in action. It's going to be an interesting week for the Big 12. I gave you the on Monday. So again, you can listen to our live show Mondays after every Monday after a game, 8 o'clock here on blogtalkradio.com/smokingmusket. And you can call 917-932-1765 or tweet at Smoking Musket to join in that conversation. I appreciate everyone who tweeted in last week, but I'm going to give you the standings again. Obviously, TCU is undefeated at 3-0 in the conference, 6-0 overall. They are in first. Oklahoma, Iowa State, Texas, Oklahoma State, West Virginia. That's 2 through 6 are all 2-1. Now, Texas is 3-3, but Oklahoma 5-1, Iowa State 4-2, Texas 3-3, Oklahoma State 5-1, West Virginia 4-2. Not quite sure what all the tiebreakers are right now because we haven't played a lot of people, but there you have it. West Virginia currently in 6th place in the Big 12. Texas Tech in 7th at 1-2, 4-2 overall. Kansas State at 1-2 in 8th place, 3-3 overall. Kansas 0-3, 1-5 overall. And Baylor 0-3, 0-6 overall. That is your current Big 12 standings. So West Virginia here in 6th place with a chance to move because, Iowa State or Texas Tech are 2-1. Someone's going to have to lose that game. Oklahoma State at Texas, again, someone's going to have to lose that game. They're both 2-1 in the conference. Now, the Oklahoma-Kansas State game, pretty sure Oklahoma will win. Pretty sure TCU will win. But you'll see some separation here at the end of this. Texas, I think Texas moves down. I think they're fool's gold this year, y'all. I really do. I think Iowa State is cool and tough, but they're not there yet. So look for those two teams to be the ones who take a step down and come down to a third tier in the conference. That's all I have for you guys this week. I appreciate you letting me talk to you for so long. Thanks for listening to this preview of the WVU Baylor game for this Saturday. Again, that's an 8 p.m. kick on Fox Sports 2, but check your station list. Make sure that it's not Fox Sports 1. Depends on a result from a baseball game tomorrow. Remember that you can call 304-933-9880 on Saturday to leave a voicemail message with your thoughts on the game. We will play this on our live call-in and review show on Monday night at 8 p.m. You can make sure to listen to that here on blogtalkradio.com/smokingmusket. And you can call in to that show at 917-932-1765. Remember, you can find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher Radio by searching for the Smoking Musket podcast. And you can find all of our podcasts here on blogtalkradio.com/smokingmusket. Make sure to follow Smoking Musket on Twitter at Smoking Musket. You can follow me on Twitter as well at BartimusPrime19, although I have not tweeted or been a part of Twitter much since the debacle a week and a half ago with U.S. soccer. I might have to venture into that. Y'all had a lot of tough sporting events. I had the Falcons lose the Super Bowl and then U.S. soccer not make the World Cup, and I had to take hiatuses after each. I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. But you can follow at Smoking Musket on Twitter, and you can like us on Facebook. And, of course, visit www.smokingmusket.com for daily news, notes, and opinions on WVU sports. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Smoking Musket podcast, previewing the WVU Baylor game on Saturday. I am Bart Keeler, and as always, goodbye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.